everybody tonight.
I've been going on YouTube. I can now get it on my phone. It really makes me excited. I know, you think that's pretty silly. But I can now get it on my phone, and there is a law professor from Hillsdale College up in California who's doing a series on the Constitution. Andrew Viragos. Pretty good, pretty. And I know I need to get out, but that's how I have fun. I actually listen to questions on the Constitution. It's good. So if you are not doing something and can't sleep one night, go on YouTube. Go to Hillsdale College and you can watch this if you want.
It's exciting, at least it is for me. Tonight we're going to talk about LLCs. John, don't laugh too hard. Someday you may be there. We're going to talk about limited liability companies tonight. Last time, we spoke about public benefit corporations. These are also called public authorities. Remember that word authority came from London. Because when they wrote the term London Authority, every other word in the statute the Parliament wrote was, it shall have the authority to do this. They're very powerful corporations. They're chartered by the state. In some instances, they're chartered by the United States, but that's very rare. Anybody know one that's chartered by the United States? Can anybody give me an example of one that is? We didn't talk about this last time. Anybody have an idea?
Red Cross?
Red Cross, very good. It's not a public authority, but it is a public benefit corporation.
Actually, I used to be counsel to the American Red Cross for the United States. They are a federally chartered corporation. Very good. A plus on that.
One of the most famous federally chartered public authorities, however, is the Tennessee Valley Authority, which was created by Franklin Roosevelt to electrify principally Appalachia, because they didn't have electricity back then. But the Red Cross is a federally chartered corporation. One of the few, actually. There's not a lot of federally chartered corporations.
New York State, we have a bunch of these things. The Thruway is one of the more famous ones. And what do public authorities do? They build things, they operate them, and they finance them. They're a vehicle by which the state can do a public works project and have the users of that public works pay for it. Matter of fact, one of the areas they're thinking about building the public authorities for stadiums now, because they tend to be multi-billion dollar projects and they tend to be paid for by the users, so public authorities might be a way to finance that building and operate. A lot of discussion going on now in Miami over their stadium, the comments of one of their baseball coaches. We also did last week a review of corporations. This weekend, if you hop on the website, you will see all of the slides, all up and running. But I will tell you that one thing that you need to know for corporations is last week's. Because if you do the review that we have up there for last week, that tells you everything you need to know about corporations. So everything that's going to be on the final exam for corporations, going to be in that set of slides. I'm a big believer in reviews. Repetition is the mother of learning. And reading is the father of it. We are going to go through the corporations for the final by looking at that. When we do our final exam review, we're going to use that as a basis. Okay. Tonight, we're going to talk about our friends, the LLCs. Limited liability companies. As we said, these are something new in the law, only created in 1994, back when you guys were just little chickens. What year were you born, man? 1990, so you were 4 years old when they did this, okay? Just probably still playing with Barney, right? You don't know. Okay. I think I was playing with Batman back then.
Long time ago. You know how long ago I was 4 years old? 1966. That's the year Batman came to television. But anyway,
also the year Star Trek came out. For those of you who are Trekkies, I was never much of it. We're going to talk about the history of LLCs. It's a short history because, as John says, only a few years. We're going to talk about how you form an LLC. It is in a much abbreviated, much easier process than incorporating. These are meant to be simple devices. They're meant to be small. They were designed for small business to be able to merge the flexibility of a partnership with the strength of limited liability. They're designed not to be heavy-hitting organizations. They're designed for small flexibility with small business. Okay? We're going to talk about the management, and then we're going to let you go home. Okay. As we said, LLCs are relatively new. They were started in 1994. They seek this merger. What happened was, in the early 1990s, right around the time that John was born, we started to see a lot of corporations leaving the state of New York. Why? Because it's very expensive. There's a lot of tax ramifications to being a corporation. You're taxed twice. There's a lot of fees on corporations. We charge them an annual tax just to be alive. Just to be corporate form. They're very expensive to own and operate. Small businesses were dying to try and have a limited liability protection without having to go through all the hoops that you have to jump through for corporations, and mainly all the expenses. The government listened to them and created this LLC, limited liability company, to try and do that. Okay? Since they were created, they're a very popular vehicle, particularly for small business. Most small business now do not operate to incorporate. They operate to go into an LLC. Okay? It's much more flexible, much less expensive. Okay? What is an LLC? It's unincorporated. Why? Because it's not a corporation. It has to be one of more persons. You have limited liability regarding its contractual obligations and liabilities. New York, of course, recognizes the whole gambit of business organizations, hence this class. We recognize sole proprietorships, we recognize partnerships, we recognize corporations, and now since 94, we now have this new vehicle of the LLC. Each one of these organizations, as we said, has their own advantages and disadvantages. What's one of the advantages of a sole proprietorship? You own it, you start it overnight, right? It's very flexible, you do whatever you want with it. You don't have to turn around and file special forms, you don't have to turn around and have an accountant to do all its taxes. It's you, right? Flexible, it's easy. Corporations, on the other hand, have a lot of hoops you got to jump through. We talked about how the incorporators and the promoters go in there. How you have to have shareholders and shareholders' meetings and come up with articles of incorporation and bylaws and all this, right? But it gives you limited liability. It gives you the ability to operate through a fictitious, artificial legal person. So there's advantages and disadvantages. Okay? An LLC seeks to come together with a partnership and a corporation to merge those two for small business. It was targeted for that. Okay?
The Department of State, just like with corporations, is the place which files these. I won't say it regulates them, because just like the Secretary of State doesn't regulate corporations, it's a ministerial agency. It takes the papers and incorporates a corporation, and in this, it establishes a limited liability company. Okay? So, the Secretary of State is the hub by which these things are formed. But they're just a receiving agency. They don't turn around and give legal advice. Limited liability company law was started in 1994, as we said. It was passed as a chapter of laws. If you go to those little black books that are the statutes in New York, they're called the Kings. It actually shares a book with the lien law. It doesn't have its own book yet. It's all shares it with another. That's very rare, actually, in the law. Okay. And as we said, it combines the corporation style with the partnership flexibility. The owners of an LLC, unlike a shareholder in a corporation, are called members, because you don't own shares in an LLC. It's a membership organization. There are no shares. It's not a corporation, it's a company. Okay. And the way that those members, like a partnership, have rights with each other is through a written agreement. It's called an operating agreement. It's just like a written partnership agreement. Only in this case, it's for the limited liability company. Okay? Whereas with a corporation, you file articles of incorporation. With an LLC, you file something similar called an articles of organization. They set forth all the essential elements of the LLC the same way that an articles of incorporation sets forth that with a corporation. Organizers, they're the people who prepare this document and who go on there and file it with the Secretary of State. Remember one important issue. They're kind of like promoters as well as incorporators. A promoter doesn't have to be a shareholder. They don't have to be someone who is a member of the board of directors. A promoter is someone who's simply an agent for the corporation that helps get the corporation up and running. So they may just turn around and receive shares of stock. Yes, they may become a shareholder, but they also may just get paid for it. They're an agent. Organizers is the same thing. They don't have to be a member of the LLC. They can do it for a fee, and frequently do. Frequently, LLCs, it's a lawyer who's the organizer, or their accountant who does this. Okay? It doesn't have to be a member of the LLC. Okay? What are some of the steps? You need to select a name, and we'll go through each one of these in depth. And you need to verify its availability. Just like a corporation, these have names. They have names under the law. So in that regard, it's like a corporation because you have to select the name and it can't be taken. You have to file your articles of organization, but unlike a corporation, which has a boatloads of fees, there's a $250 fee here, or a $200 fee here, which is not terribly substantial. You have to apply for a federal ID number, because unlike a corporation, an LLC is not a person under the law. That's reserved for corporations. Only a corporation is a person under the law. LLC, limited liability company, is not. So you have to apply for a federal ID number. You can apply for it, just like a partnership, in the name of the organization. But remember, it's not taxed as a person. Okay? You have to publish. You have to turn around in order to meet the requirements of limited liability company law. You have to publish in newspapers to be able to do this. And you've got to get a certificate back from the newspapers to demonstrate this before you file. Okay? And lastly, you should, matter of fact, it's required in the law, but there's no sanction for not doing it. You should have a written operating agreement. Okay. Let's talk about the name. Just like when you incorporate, you have to use the word corp or inc or limited in your name to demonstrate your corporation. In an LLC, you have to use the word limited liability company, LLC, there for that. Because that denotes that it's an LLC. You can't pick a previously used name. One per customer. So if there's another Bob's Donuts LLC, I can't take Bob's Donuts LLC. I can take Bob's Really Yummy Donuts, or Bob's Less Expensive Donuts, or whatever I want to say, but I can't do the same name. Okay? Certain words are prohibited under state law. To give you an example, I can't call my LLC Bob's Donuts Inc. Why? Because that's reserved for corporate format. If I want to call it Bob's Donuts Inc., I got to incorporate. And that's precluded under an LLC name. So certain words within that are precluded under the statute. Okay? Also, certain words require the consent of state agencies if you're going to use them. That's limited, and you don't have to worry about it. Just it is out there. Okay? LLC must be distinguishable, obviously, from the names of other ones. There's a list of words and phrases in Section 204, as we state, that you can't use. Okay? To determine whether a proposed LLC is available, you can go on. There's a registry at the Department of State. You can hop right on it. It's on the internet. Go pick out. You can go see whether John's Donuts are available. Okay? Or whatever you want to start. Okay? You can actually reserve a name. If I say, oh yeah, Bob's Donuts is available, I want to reserve that. I want to turn around and take that name. Guess what? I can reserve that for a period of time. It's 30 days and then it's renewable. Can't do it forever. There is a limitation on it. Okay? Okay. These are the things that have to go in the Articles of Organization. Excuse me. Very similar to that which are in the Articles of Incorporation. First is the name of the company. Again, it can't be conflicting, and the Secretary of State will check that. Next is your county location, a designation for service, a process. Guess what? That's got to go in an Articles of Incorporation, too. It's got to be signed. You have to have the name of the filer, just like you have to have the name of the incorporators who have to sign the document for incorporation. You've got to pay the filing fee, and you get a receipt. Yes?
I have a question.
Sure.
In LLCs, you can have the same name as someone else in a different state?
Well, you're filed in the state,
yes.
So yes, you can have, as long as it's not reserved in the state in which you're filing.
Corporations are across the states, or is it?
Sorry.
And in terms of corporations.
Same thing with corporation.
Okay.
If the name Microsoft was not reserved in New York State, I could presumably use it. But when a corporation gets that big and engages in interstate commerce, the first thing they do is preserve the name and file in every other state. Okay? So there's not a problem. Okay? Now, if they're doing business here and paying taxes, the Secretary of State won't let them use the name. If they're not, let's say there's a Bob's Donuts in South Carolina that ever wants to come up here, guess what? I can pay. County location. You have to state the address and where you're going to be. This is important for two reasons. Actually, three. Number one, this way people who are doing business with you know where to get a hold of you. Where's your offices? You're making that known. Secondly, because of the publication requirement, you have to put down the county that you're operating in, because that's the county where you're going to publish. So that's required. And lastly, because of the service of process, they need to know where to get a hold of you in order if somebody sues you. Okay? You only enter the name of the county for one county where you're doing business, where your principal business is. Okay? All you have to do is enter the county. Okay? You don't have to include a street address. Okay? Designation of service of process. This is the same with the Secretary of State with the corporation. You designate the Secretary of State for the service of process for this organization as well. Okay? Signature. Organizer must sign the articles of organization. They also must print their name so you can read it. Okay? You provide the name and address of the filer of the organization so they've got a contact person. Okay? And the Department of State will give you a receipt. As we said, there's a $200 filing fee. You can pay for it by check. Department of State now also takes credit cards. You cannot pay for it by cash through the mail, but you can pay for it by cash at the Department of State if you wish to go there. Okay? How do you file your articles of organization? You do it through the mail. You could actually even do it electronically as long as they get the money. They have a form on the bottom that allows you to fill in your credit card. Okay? They'll fax you back the receipt. I don't know if they do it by email. I should ask that question. What do you think? You think they do? I don't know. Maybe. They're trying to make a big push on that, so we might. Okay. Okay. Certain types of businesses are required to get permits to operate. If I decide that instead of doing Bob's Donuts, I instead want to do Bob's Mining, decide that I want to open a copper mine in my backyard, I'd bring in buy a backhoe and start digging, okay, and form that LLC. Before I can form Bob's Mining LLC, I have to get a mine permit. They won't allow me to file the LLC without all the permits. Because that's what the purpose of the LLC is. Okay? Now, there is an Office of Permits, which I never knew about, that actually exists in New York State. It's an online office. It's actually run by the Secretary of State's office. That helps you permit all these things. Tells you how many permits there are out there. Anyway. Publication. You're getting ready to roll. You know about this organization you want to form. You have everything in order. You've written your articles of organization. But you have to publish. What information has to be published? There is a series of requirements for publication. What are they?
It's contained in Section 206 of the LLC law. Basically, you have to turn around and publish your name, what your purpose of your business is going to be, your address, statistical information, things of that nature. Okay? You go to your county, and they will tell you what are the papers of record. You publish in that, in the legal notices, anybody ever read those things, about this big, they're little boxes in the very back of the paper. It's really one of the ways that newspapers in this day and age are making their money. But they publish them in the legal notices for a specified period of time. And once you do that, it's a few days, once you do that, they will give you a receipt. It's a certificate of publication with affidavits from the publisher, which is the newspaper, saying you did it. You take that with you when you go to file your articles. Okay? Now, one of the things you want to do, we said, remember, this is a marriage between a corporation and a partnership. Remember, a partnership does not have to have a partnership agreement. Okay? If you don't, everything just gets divided equally, shared equally between the two. Okay? Or if you're three or more, whatever. But most partnerships do have, particularly if you get any money, because people like things in writing, they want to memorialize it. They'll do have a partnership agreement. Where you put names in writing. With an LLC, the state wants these things in writing. So they provide a requirement in the law that you have an operating agreement. It's in effect a partnership agreement. It tells you how you're going to distribute the proceeds, the income that comes into the LLC. It tells you if it dissolves, how it's going to be, the property's going to be distributed. What your purposes are, what the roles of the individual members are going to be. You're going to have a managing member, somebody who's a day-to-day operator of the company, versus a person who just is an investor, who may not do much other than just give money, okay, to the organization. Different roles. Who's responsible for hiring and firing employees? Remember, with an LLC, you don't have a board of directors. So there's no place where you have a representative government within the LLC. The LLC is a membership, just like a partnership. The members control it. And absent a specific declaration within this operating agreement, everything is equal. If you have the operating agreement, it doesn't have to be. Okay? You could say, you know, you're a 1/10 member versus me. Okay? Like you have PCs, professional corporations, you can also have PLLCs, professional limited liability companies. These are becoming ever more popular. Matter of fact, PCs almost non-existent now. Almost all professional companies now are going to the LLPs because it's less expensive and they are membership organizations. PCs tended to be smaller organizations anyway, even if you were a large law firm. This is an easier way to operate. Okay? So even though the PC form still exists, this is really eating its lunch. Okay? And any organization or any licensed profession can go into it. How are they taxed? Well, the bottom line is most of them are taxed as partnerships. Okay? They're not taxed like corporations. Because they're not corporations. Okay? by and large, they're taxed as partnerships. Sometimes they can be taxed individually. Okay? Any questions? On anything? You got a question of the day? Before you go. How about you? Yeah, stay up for a second. You don't have a question? Hands up? How about you? Hold on, before you go, sit down. I'm letting you out early, so I mean, come on, you're off the race. Please, speak up.
For accounting firms, sometimes we'll say, for instance, Teal Vector, Yaramande, CPA, PCD. Is that a professional company?
That's a professional corporation. Teal Becker is a PC. I know my wife used to work for Teal Becker. She reminded me to find mid-sized accounting firm. Now, most big four, all the big four, accounting firms are what?
Partnerships.
They are still partnerships. And that can be a real big issue. And I'll tell you why. Recently, the Department of Justice went after a few of these for the way they were doing consulting and fined them. Every partner I know in my wife's accounting firm, which is KPMG, had to pay $30,000 to pay the money. Every partner. That's a lot to manage where I come from. If you were a corporation, would you have to pay that? No. You, as a partnership, you are individually liable for that. And they individually have to pay. Now, I'm assuming that they made it back up, but you know, no. My wife didn't have to pay because she wasn't a partner yet. That was a good thing in my life. Okay, question of the day. Anybody? You got one?
How would you call LLC in French?
What?
LLC in French.
I have trouble with it. How about you? Anything?
No, you covered it all so well.
I covered it all so well. Okay. Hey, where are we on the attendance sheet?
Right here.
Do not fail to sign this. Is anybody who came today?